number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. Super Bowl in the books, the NFL in the books, and we say hello now to John McClain, who joins us from Houston. John, how you doing?
I couldn't be better after that boring Super Bowl, but I like defense. I'm a cover a defensive team here, so I was happy for Clint Kubiak, who I know the family very well, and I was happy for him to win before he became the Raiders coach, and they drafted Fernando Mendoza. And I would have been happy if Vrabel won, but boy, Drake May just had terrible playoffs. I'm glad Matthew Stafford deservedly was voted MVP, because if Drake May had been voted MVP and he was a close second, boy, you know, he spit the bit with one of the worst quarterback performances in the history of the playoffs.
I thought he was seeing ghosts last night, John. It felt like that defense gave him no time, and it got to him.
It looks to me, well, if you think about it, he was sacked at least five times in each playoff game. And he set the all-time record, I believe, broke Joe Burrow's record for most sacks. And you're right, he was expecting the pressure. I don't care who it is, Patrick Mahomes, anybody. If you get hit enough and you expect to get hit, it affects your play. And Campbell, he's got to go to guard. He was awful.
Yeah. Ugh, that was
14 pressures in one game.
Yeah, it was not good. Real quick, before we continue the NFL talk, I know the documentary that you have been working on is now available, and want to give you a chance to talk about that.
Well, I appreciate that. We had our premiere 2 weeks ago. It's out now. The producers are working on streaming, theater, and TV. Meanwhile, we have a company that set us up with a site. You go to maddogentertainment.tv, M-A-D-D-O-G, entertainment.tv. It's available for $4.50. I thought it was going to be like $9.95, but $4.50, and it's about high school football in Texas before integration, and it's mainly about stories. And we have people from Mean Joe Green, Kenny Houston, Robert Brazil, Warren Moon, Eric Dickerson, Jimmy Johnson's a big part of it, Jerry Levice, Super Bill Bradley. We have so many former players and coaches covering the period from 1920 to 1970 after LBJ signed the Civil Rights Act in 64. And the all-white university scholastic league here absorbed the all-black purview interscholastic league. That was ended up in 70, but it was a labor of love we worked on for 16 months. I did most of the interviews, and I'm very proud of it. It's called The PVIL Story, Separate but Equal, and it's on maddogentertainment.tv. And it's a great historical lesson about a lot of great players, including Titans alums who went on to play college football in the NFL.
What's the time frame, John, of this?
The BVIL was formed in 1920. The UIL was formed in Austin, so it took after the University of Texas. The PVIL, because it was all black, Prairie View A&M, which was Prairie View College, was the all-black school, so it was formed in Prairie View, Texas, which is close to Houston. And it went through 1970, and the stories, the characters, the players, it's eventually we're going to have four different parts. We got things planned. Like, we interviewed 40 people, and some of them were for like an hour or two. And, of course, you can't use but a few seconds in a documentary,
right?
Because you want to get as many stories. So at some point on maddogentertainment.tv, we're going to have interviews with, like, Joe Green, Kenny Houston, Warren Moon, Robert Brazil, Eric Dickerson, Jimmy Johnson. We're going to edit those interviews down to anywhere from 50 to 30 minutes, where people can click on them, pay a couple of bucks, and get to hear the entire interview. And we're going to put other documentaries on there, including one we've been working on about high school football in Texas that is like 1950, that we started that back during high school football season. And it is fascinating as well. And now we're kicking around doing another one. I'm an old dog that can be taught new tricks.
Right. Who is genuinely considered the greatest high school football player from down there? Did they talk
Campbell.
About Earl Campbell?
There's a lot of great running backs. Eric Dickerson, Billy Sims, Thurman Thomas, a lot of great running backs. Doak Walker, who are in the Hall of Fame. But there was only one Earl Campbell. And one of the reasons Earl is considered the greatest, of course, he played for the Oilers. He's been up to Nashville as part of the Oilers reunions, is because Earl played at John Tyler High School in East Texas. As a senior, he moved from linebacker to running back. And I got to tell you a quick story. I had just started working at the Waco Tribune Herald. And the sports editor, Dave Campbell, had been there 40 years, and he founded Texas Football Magazine in 1960, the Bible of Texas football, high school and college, and the NFL, but not so much the Oilers and Cowboys. And I just started there, and he had read the magazine. Every issue comes out in the summer, such a big deal. And he came in, he said, "Would you like to do a story on the magazine?" I said, "What magazine?" He said, "Texas Football." I said, "I'm not good enough to write a story for Texas Football Magazine." He said, "If I think you are, then you are." And I said, "Well, yeah, sure, okay." He said, "Here's a number of a coach at John Tyler High School named Corky Nelson. I'm hearing from a lot of Southwest Conference coaches. They got a linebacker who's being moved to running back who they think's going to be special. So I want you to call that coach and do a story on that linebacker who's going to be a running back as a senior." I said, "What's his name?" He said, "Campbell." I said, "Oh, cousin of yours?" He goes, "Not hardly." And so I wrote the first story on Earl Campbell for Texas High School Football, Texas Football Magazine, going into his senior year at John Tyler. And they went 15-0. He was a star at every game. Everybody wanted him. Baylor hired his head coach as defensive coordinator, but he still went to Texas, and Baylor finished second. And, of course, he won the Heisman Trophy, and Oilers coach Bum Phillips engineered a trade with the Buccaneers to get the first overall pick, and he drafted Earl. That started the Love You Blue era. He led the league in rushing 78, 79, and 80, and two times they came within one victory over the Steelers and getting to the Super Bowl. And so I think just about anybody would tell you guys Earl Campbell. And I was so happy when that story came out, and all my friends, "Man, I loved your story on Earl Campbell." And when I read it, I realized Dave Campbell, he should have put his name on it. He totally rewrote it. And I told him, "Mr. Campbell, you should have your name on it and it contributing to John McClain." And he just laughed. I didn't tell people he had rewritten my Earl Campbell story for probably 20 years when I had confidence to tell him that I did it. But it made the all 25 anniversary issue of Texas Football. Everybody was so proud of me, especially my father. I never told my father that Dave Campbell rewrote it.
That's great. Real quick, where does Vince Young land on this?
Well, if you were looking at all-time great quarterbacks, Vince is not the all-timer unless you stop it at college. You know, Bobby Lane's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
We had Matthew Stafford was a quarterback. There's a lot of great quarterbacks who come out of Texas.
Drew Brees.
But if you talk about Drew Brees, one that strictly for high school, when he came out of high school, he was the top high school player in the country, according to USA Today. And then he won a national championship over USC. You might say for just the two, high school and college, nobody was better than Vince Young.
That is, we look forward to all of that. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next, including his thoughts on the Super Bowl and what's to come in the NFL. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, continuing our conversation with John McClain down in Houston. So, John, where do the Seahawks go from here now that Mike McDonald, at 38 years old, has won a Super Bowl as a head coach with the Seahawks? And they got a pretty darn good team. I know they got some free agents they got to work on, but still think that this team's pretty good and will be for a while.
First thing they're going to have to do is replace offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, who did a great job in his first season with McDonald. Also, is he going to take any coaches with him to be coordinators? And Kenneth Walker, it was a break for him when Zach Charbonnet blew out his knee. So he got to get all the carries, and he's playing for a new contract, and he was outstanding. Only the fifth offensive player to be voted MVP without scoring touchdown. And so he was magnificent. And their defense, because McDonald, he's the first head coach to call a defense and win a Super Bowl. And the fact you just mentioned, he's 38 years old. And it's hard to repeat. Your quarterback's got to play great, like Mahomes or Brady. One of the things I liked, their defense was playing so great. And Drake May and the offense were so discombobulated and bamboozled. The only way Seattle was going to lose was a pick six or a turnover in their end of the field. The most remarkable stat that I saw was no turnovers in the playoffs. And in fact, every playoff game was outdoors. And Seattle was tremendous. So they were very smart. I thought Sam Darnold did a great job of getting away from the rush. He got a lot of pressure. He forced the ball two or three times into coverage, but got lucky that it wasn't picked off. And I thought it was a really smart game plan that changed once they got up 9-0, because I don't think any of us thought the Patriots were capable of coming back based on how pathetic they looked on offense. And it's hard to come back and be a champion, but nowadays it's so funny. Defense is taking over where it was offense. So they've got a good thing going there, plus they got Sam Darnold under contract. And John Schneider is a great GM. And you know, Jody Allen's going to be trying to sell that team. And they say it could go for $9 or $10 billion. And if you buy a team, everybody worries. What kind of person is buying a team? If they get a new owner that comes in there and tries to be aggressive, that's what could derail them more than anything.
If they sell for $10 billion, let's say the high end, does that make some other owners go, maybe I should put my team on the market and just see what I could get?
Well, those owners are making so much money. They're all making more than they could spend if they wanted to. They all got planes and yachts and helicopters. You know, their kids are taken care of, their grandkids, their kids. You know, what else do they need? And plus, when you do that, you lose so much to taxes, estate taxes. Most owners now or do things before they die to make tax-wise, to make sure the kids who inherit it don't have to sell it to pay the taxes. I know Bud Adams told me that he and Lamar Hunt did that in the early 70s to make sure when it was sold, they didn't have to sell it. A couple of owners put their kids in a position where they had to sell to pay those taxes, and that was very unfair. So you'd think, and boy, $10 billion for the Seahawks, but there's multi-billionaires that got it. There's got to be a small pool, and the NFL has let in some really bad, incompetent owners, and you hope they don't do that with the Seahawks.
John, look at the Patriots. What do they need to do to get back? I know you talked about moving the left tackle into guard. Yeah, he needs some help there. But overall, I mean, look, it's talked about they had the easiest schedule since, what, 2007 or 2009, whatever it was. What do they need to do to get back, John?
Now, Joe, they're going to be playing that first-place schedule. Texans have played it the last, let's see, 3 years. Now they go to a second-place schedule, which is easier. So it's going to be a lot tougher for them in regular season. I'm guessing everybody will pick the Bills under new coach Joe Brady to win the division. And they've got to, first and foremost, be able to do a better job of protecting May. Their defense is good, but it's got to start up front because their offensive linemen were crushed. And I saw that with the Texans in 2024, in which C.J. Stroud would take the snap and somebody would be on him because they just couldn't block him. They improved this year, but they need to improve even more. So it's got to start with free agents, and they still got a lot of money to spend, and, of course, the draft to try to make sure they have better protection for May.
John, I'm looking at DraftKings, the longest odds to win the Super Bowl next year, Miami and Arizona at plus 20,000. That'd be a hell of a Super Bowl, huh, Miami and Arizona?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? If they get that far, then something special has happened. I guess Quinn Ewers has turned out to be a seventh-round draft choice to take the Dolphins to the Super Bowl in Arizona. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be. But you know what? If you'd have put money on the Seahawks before the season, you would have won a lot.
Oh, absolutely. John, how do you think C.J. Stroud rebounds from that just horrible performance in the playoffs?
It wasn't just one. When they went to Pittsburgh and won 30-6, two defensive touchdowns, he made some really bad panic plays in the pocket. Now, he made some really good throws. So we all thought, okay, he's got it out of his system. Then he goes to New England and plays the worst game of his career, the second worst game I've seen a Texans quarterback play, Brian Hoyer, in a 30-0 loss to Kansas City at home, had a rating of like 15 and got benched. But Stroud had no fumbles in regular season. He had two against Pittsburgh. He had only eight interceptions in regular season. He had one. I think he had two or three, including a pick. No, four. Five. He had a pick six. Should have had another one. So they'll say all through the offseason, they'll pick up his fifth-year option, and they'll say all through the offseason, oh, man, we're confident he got – everybody will say all the right things. And he could play great during the regular season, but until he gets in the playoffs and shows that he's beyond that, a lot of people are going to hold their breath. The two previous years, he played four playoff games, including a loss at Baltimore and a loss at Kansas City. And he played well, especially Kansas City. And no sign of what was coming this year. It's inexplicable, but it looked like he got to get his courage back, and they better start by improving their offensive line and their running game.
John, appreciate the time. As always, we'll have a lot of off-season discussion to have starting next week, but should be fun. Another season in the books.
I look forward to it, guys. Remember, MadDogEntertainment.tv. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. John McClain joining us here on the program, does every Monday at 2 o'clock. The NFL season officially in the books, and now the page flips to the 2026 season.
Good. I need a little break. I love football, but I need a little time to...
A little nap.
Get away from it.
I need a nap.
Yeah, you do. Your over yonder yawns are at 19 right now.
Yeah, they're pretty good. We'll come back with more here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.